Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 5 o'clock. On the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell on a hump day. Beautiful day in paradise. Pollen aside. Chris Thomas in for Carl, who will be back tomorrow. We're at Twin Peaks. And we start the 5 o'clock. Say it with us, with a big hearty, hey, man. Arch was sounding off on the Falcons' moves and how excited he's got to be to see some offense, some real offense with a flow and a pro under center. We're going to talk to Arch at 5:20. You'll hear that. The news today in the division, though, Chris, it's not about the Falcons. It's up the road with the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, they get it done with Jadeveon Clowney. Dare I say a resurgent Jadeveon Clowney. You just told me in the break, 9 sacks last year with Baltimore, who, by the way, led the league in sacks with 60. He gets 2 years, 20 mil to replace Brian Burns.
So if Jadeveon Clowney is going to send out some Christmas cards with his 9.5 sacks last year, I think one's got to go to Big Chuck Smith, Joe.
That's right.
Because Chuck Smith went to Baltimore and really did revitalize that pass rush. And you could argue revitalize Jadeveon Clowney's career to the point. Now, look, he's no replacement for Brian Burns. And he did have a really good supporting cast with him in the Ravens, but 60 sacks for that team last year. But this dude had 9.5 of them. He signs a 2-year, $20 million deal with Carolina. So depending on where they line him up, that'll either be Jake or Lindstrom's problem, or I should say Caleb McGarry's problem to deal with next season for the Falcons. But yeah, man, Chuck Smith, Joe, that guy gets guys ask all the time. Short answer, just my 2 cents. I think Dan Quinn was threatened by Chuck Smith. I don't mean physically threatened. I think Dan Quinn's a defensive line coach. Chuck Smith is just a better defensive line developer. Chuck Smith makes good money before we got back in the game as a coach, working with guys for the draft. He does these camps with pros, with the biggest names in edge rush.
Aaron Donald.
You know, and I just, my, this is me. I can't prove it. Just my opinion. I think that over the years, I don't think it was a problem with Smitty necessarily, but I think with Dan Quinn, he felt threatened that Chuck, and that's why for some reason they never, why didn't Chuck ever get hired by the Falcons? I don't know. Strange disconnect with some of the 98 team for whatever reason. It's better now, and it wasn't always great, but that's just for me. Hey, man, the Falcons are going to go edge rush, right? Mike Tannenbaum, who's been an executive in the NFL for years, was the GM for the Jets for a long time. He says on ESPN that he thinks it's Dallas Turner. He says this one is easy. And he said the numbers that Dallas Turner put up at the combine make it the no-brainer. I like Jared Verse, but he says Turner.
Yeah, I say not so fast, Mike Tannenbaum. Jared Verse is a guy that could really come in here and disrupt any offense that he goes against. He has, to me, he has more of the prototypical edge rusher build style of play where he's just going to put his hand in the dirt, come off the edge, and try to go sack the quarterback. Now, I think to a plus for Dallas Turner, he's a little bit more versatile because he's even listed as a linebacker on some charts that you see out there. So he obviously has the ability to play standing up, to play with his hand in the ground. But for me, Jared Verse is a guy that I look at him and I look at the tape from Florida State this year, Mike. To me, he's can't miss.
Yeah, I also like the fact that he wasn't exactly like the five-star guy coming out of high school. That, you know, he put the work in, small school, upstate New York, then he comes down to Tallahassee. I've mentioned that before. Look, yes, I've seen every game he's played, and he's good. And I understand that sometimes guys take plays off, make business decisions between him and Fisk. They had some dogs, man, on that defensive line. But Dallas Turner, and this is Carl's argument. He'll talk tomorrow about it more, but he said, you know, if Dallas is so good, why didn't he pop a little bit more? Is that a byproduct of the defensive scheme for Alabama last year under Kevin Steele? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you saw Will Anderson really do it the year before, and then he wins Defensive Rookie of the Year with the Texans. So, obviously, Alabama still has the juice when it comes to promoting and producing prime defenders. But for me, Dallas Turner, he's just a little bit more unpolished. He can do more things to me on the football field, but he's not going to come in and be an absolute slam dunk like Will Anderson was with the Texans. That's just my opinion based off of watching all the games last season. To me, Jared Verse is a guy that you just put him on one of those edges and you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the game. I'm not saying he's going to average a sack a game, but I'm saying he's going to do his job and do it well.
Again, guys, first team All-American 2 years, Jared Verse, 22 and 23 at FSU, 6'4", 260, you know, and just, you know, throwing guys around. You know, and just loved his game. Played up in the Colonial Athletic Association, playing for Albany before he went to play big boy football.
Throw out the record books for that one.
Yeah, man. But I mean, this guy is just, to me, I just, he's everything you want as far as the hand in the dirt. And we'll talk to Dave Archer about that because he knows, and he will bust my chops. He knows I like first. But Dallas Turner perhaps has the bigger upside. And I apologize for repeating myself. We know who the guys are that are earmarked as the top two or three, but if the Falcons don't see it the same way on their big white erase board, then it doesn't really matter, does it?
And now here's the question, Mike Bell. What do they do with their second round pick? For me, that becomes the – for me, edge at eight is no-brainer. So right. That's not the most important
thing.
There's
more corners than elite edge rushers, because then you get into that second tier that, you know, Carl and I have chatted about a lot. And that's what Arnold Ebiketie was. He was a tier two guy in that draft, and he's played like it. He didn't just pop right off the jump. He's taken a while to develop. You hope that there's further development, but yeah, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, Terry and Arnold from Alabama. The other thing is trading down, but we don't have a lot of cap space. I know you would mitigate some of the costs if you trade down, but you still pick up more rookie contracts because you'd have more pieces and more draft picks.
Would a guy like maybe a Kool-Aid McKinstry be there in the second round? You're going to take a chance on him?
I like that.
He was a star.
That's a dude from Bama.
Yeah,
I like, yeah.
That's that, and that's what I'm saying. So for me, it becomes wide receiver in the later rounds. You focus on edge in the first round. You get the best corner available in the second round between him, Clark Phillips, and Mike Hughes to fill that void that's being left by Jeff Okuda, who didn't fill it particularly well down the stretch of the season. That's why he's not here anymore. Now you're cooking.
I'm with you. I like it. And I know that we've got we got wide receivers. We've got now the offensive line. We'll ask Archie about the offensive line because I've had some questions about does this coaching staff view the guys the same way the previous did and see what he thinks about that. But because you could argue that if Alt is there from Notre Dame, that's, you know, it wouldn't be sexy because nobody ever gets fired up about an offensive lineman, but it's the building blocks. Jim Harbaugh was just talking about this at the owner meetings. He says you build a football team through the trenches, which is something I've said a lot.
Mike, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I saw a mock draft today, and guess who was available at number 9? Maserati,
yes.
Marvin Harrison.
Well, this is where it gets a little interesting. The numbers are out there, and it's if you didn't see it, Malik Nabers ran a 4.35 at his pro day in LSU. So if, and only if we talk to the personnel guys, we're going to talk. Who's coming? Is it Matt Lombardo we're talking
Matt
today?
Matt Lombardo.
If more guys kind of feel, you know, a certain way that Marvin Harrison is kind of thumbing his nose at the system, I don't know. The tape shows that he's one of the best players in college, arguably the best athlete in the draft. But the speed, and if he doesn't run at the same level that Roma Dunze and Malik Nabers are, then you got a conversation, don't you?
Giddy up.
Hey, man, we'll talk more about it with Arch coming up next, guys. It is Dukes of Bell. This hour of the show is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. The Ronald Acuna piece he wrote for the Players Tribune. We're going to do a deep dive on that in the Braves report coming up later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hope you guys are having a decent drive home today on a hump day. Grab a cold brew with us. Ice cold Hey Man Ale on draft tomorrow. Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. And Carl will be back. Mike Conti, the big boss. Let Carl rest his pipes. So it doesn't sound like this tomorrow, so we'll be back in the mix. Earlier today, we spoke with our man Dave Archer, the voice, along with Wes Strewham of your Atlanta Falcons. And we hadn't had a chance to catch up with Arch since all the moves went down. First thing we asked him is, I mean, it's going to be like paradise. Every day is Christmas calling games with Kirk Cousins under center, right?
Mike, it's been fun to kind of break tape down and look at what Kirk's done in his 12 years in the National Football League. If you couple with what he did bursting on the scene after being kind of the, by the way, we drafted another guy to Michigan State the same year RG3 went to Washington, him bursting on the scene, taking that job away there, and then ultimately getting the big deal to go to Minnesota, and the consistency that he's put up from a numbers standpoint, the rating, the touchdown passes, he's 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio over the last 6 years. He's one of the top passers against pressure. He's one of the top play action pass. I mean, you can go on and on down the line of what this guy's done, kind of forgotten, really, when you look at some of the other guys that have gotten some of the notoriety. Kirk Cousins is right there when it comes to putting up the numbers and putting his team in the end zone.
Arch, we've heard drips and drabs about what's to come for the offense in terms of scheme and style. To your best guesstimate, as somebody who's watched Falcons football day in and day out for decades now, what do you think this offense is going to look like schematically, and how explosive can it be?
Well, with the addition of what they've done from a receiver core standpoint and what you already have here, I think that you're certainly migrating towards the direction of what the quarterback has done well and what the offensive coordinator, or that is now the offensive coordinator, was the pass game coordinator in L.A., what those two have been doing. When you marry those two up and you begin to look at the schemes that Kirk's played in Washington and in Minnesota, and what Zach Robinson called and was a part of in that LA system, you're looking at the Shanahan-McVay concept. So you're talking about 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers. Certainly when you've got personnel like Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson, that will equate to some other packages that maybe teams haven't seen from that particular style of offensive coordinator, because you've got talent that you don't normally have. Two probably top-end or starting-type running backs will help you. Plus, this offensive line's been really good at coming off the ball and running the football. You see what L.A. did last year, running the football with the youngster from Notre Dame. I think you'll love the blend that you're going to get of the style that you get from the McVay-Shanahan system, and then with what he can do from a personnel standpoint here, the addition of the receivers that can blow the top off the coverage, coupling those guys with Drake London and Kyle Pitts and what that can do to a defense and manipulating coverage and how teams deploy defensively, what they decide to call versus a quarterback that's seen just about everything you could see in a league, that all equates to some pretty cool stuff on offense.
It's a Dave Archer, guys, former Falcon quarterback. Now, of course, part of the broadcast team right here. He'll be part of the draft coverage as well before you know it on 92.9 The Game. Arch, the offensive line, is it suited to do this, to protect Cousins? I know we've talked about Caleb McGarry, really good forward, sometimes tough, going backwards, and the center position. Is this coaching staff, this administration, going to be satisfied with Dahlman?
I think some of the things you're going to do, Mike, there's always guys that are going to have weaknesses. Nobody's perfect along the offensive line. I think even when you look at the best offensive lines in the National Football League, whether it's the Eagles or whoever you want to go to, there's always going to be some blemishes, some things they don't do quite well. So what do you do to cover up some of those blemishes? I think the personnel you have at the skill position level gives you an opportunity to run the football, do some things there, but also mix in some of the short passing game that you'll see from the slants, the shallow crosses, and then the ability to stretch the ball down the field. I think you offset maybe some personnel blemishes, if you will. And I'm not saying Dahlman can't play center, and certainly McGarry is going to have to sink in and play a much better pass block offensive line. But when you have the threat of the ability to run the football the way this team does, I think it helps those guys in not thinking they're going to line up and throw the ball 45, 50 times a game because you're going to blend in that run game. So I think that those are the kind of things the Falcons are putting together as they begin to put their playbook together to match the personnel they have and the personnel they will have when it comes to lineup in 24.
Arch, when it comes to Kyle Pitts, we all know the talent he does possess. A couple of years now where he's been banged up and recovering from injury. As a result of that, can you foresee him playing strictly more of a wide receiver position on the field in terms of less blocking and more pass catching as we try to tap back into some of that potential?
Well, I think if you want to play with the personnel we discussed, with one tight end, one back, and three receivers, then obviously you're talking about maybe Kyle playing one of those three receiver spots. And then is it Warner or somebody else playing the tight end spot that makes up the tight end with the back? That's certainly possible. I think Kyle, hopefully this last season has gotten him over. That was a mental block. Whenever you take a shot like he took in the middle of 22, where a guy goes low on you and blows your knee up, that's hard to get over because you're constantly looking back to the quarterback and you can't see what potentially is coming at you. You kind of get a lay of the land as you're running your route, but at some point you got to take your eyes off of that and crane your head back to find the football. And so that exposes you a little bit. So mentally, that's a hurdle to get over. And I thought Kyle really struggled with that. All of us that watch him play saw him make plays during the season, but we also saw him guarding himself. He'd go down and kind of try to collision to, blockers or let himself be tackled to not expose the legs. Hopefully he's taken another step beyond that. But I certainly see him being a part of a three wide receiver package because of his size and his ability to run with additional another tight end on the field. And by the way, it gives you another personnel group. Now, so you're in 12 personnel, one tight end or 21 personnel, two tight ends, one back. And now all of a sudden you can do some other stuff in the run game. Cause I thought Kyle has really made some strides in his run blocking as well. So all that being said, I think Kyle will be used in a multitude of packages, both as a receiver and as a tight end. And the thing that you hope the most, so Chris, is that he's overcome kind of the mental hurdle of getting submarined on that play in 22. Mm.
I know, Arch, at the end of the season, that was such a funky game in New Orleans. We looked so good in those first two possessions. Now, from where I sat, it looked like a wheel route, but as Bijan catches the ball and takes it to the house, I was like, where the hell was that all season? Is that more stuff we're going to see with Zach Robinson?
Well, I think you'll see, certainly Bijan, he caught, what did he catch, Mike? 55, 60 right. balls, somewhere in that neighborhood during the year. That's a pretty good year for a young running back that you also wanted to be kind of your featured running back. I mean, Tyler Allgeier became that banger that you used as a changeup to Bijan Robinson, but he was your featured back the year before. All of a sudden, Bijan is that guy, run the football to almost 1,000 yards, then sprinkles in the 55 receptions. I think that you'll see him catch the football more out of the backfield. I think you'll see both those guys in the game a good bit together. Bijan does have that wide receiver ability. You're going to see some of that bubble screen stuff that we saw some last year. But there's going to be designs that you're going to love. One design that I saw, if you go back and look at the Rams playing against the Lions in the playoff game. Now, it was a really cool bunch look to the right side with three receivers, had the tight end in a nasty split or a three-yard split to the left side, and you had Cooper Kupp in the backfield. Now think of Rondell Moore in the backfield, or all of a sudden Darnell Mooney's lined up in the backfield, and Pitts runs a little skinny post, and they run a wheel route off of that with the back coming out of the backfield. It's not a back. all of a sudden it's Darnell Mooney or it's Rondell Moore or somebody like that coming out of the backfield. You're going to see some of that variety because of some of the guys they put in that are run after the catch guys as well as speed guys can blow the top off the coverage.
It is the Idaho Rail Splitter, David Archer, with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. The defense, I know that every year we go to the draft, say for 3 or 4 years, Arch, we've always said, it's got to be this, and then they go the other way. Could we potentially go corner and still get an impact edge rusher, or does it have to be an edge rusher at 8?
Well, I think that if you want the guy that we've been talking about, I know you've been talking about Jared Verse. I know you get the Florida State stuff in you and you can't get it out of you. So
or
you
Dallas
go
Turner.
Route.
Dallas Turner.
They're interesting guys. I mean, I think Verse is a little bit more of a heavy-handed dude. Turner's a little bit more of a speed guy, but they both are very effective. Latu, the kid out of UCLA, is coming on. He's done a lot of good stuff. There are some guys that you could find in the second round, whether it's Braswell out of Alabama as well. How about connecting the two brothers together? Jonah Ellis comes in from Utah. And he's got the ability to run the ball off the edge, teaming with his brother on the inside. So there's some guys, but if you want – that guy that you feel like is the difference maker. I think those top three players, and when you talk about Turner, you talk about Verse, you talk about Latu, I think those are the three guys, a little bit like the wide receiver core, Mike, when you talk about Harrison, Adunze, and Malik Nabers, those guys have kind of separated themselves from the other receivers. That feel like that top end. I feel like that's the top end of where that pass rush is. But, yes, there will be some guys available in the second round should you take the corner in the first round. But I do think there's some corners, too, that you could get in the second round. I think what they've done in free agency, guys, because they attacked the offensive side of the football different from last year, right? It was the defense they attacked. I think they've freed themselves up to really whatever they feel is the best scenario there. But I think for the first time, they're going to find that the best player available at 8 might be their need guy, which has not necessarily been the case over the last 3 years.
Arch, when it comes to the safety position, not a lot talked about in the offseason so far, but do you feel like they have the solution in-house to that second safety spot who's going to be the anchor behind Jesse Bates?
Yeah, I think that I thought Richie Grant played well at safety. I thought he did a good job there. I think that they have a guy that those two guys can rotate and play down in the box. I think that they've got I think they feel comfortable with that. You're going to potentially take some guys later on in the draft that'll come in and help fill the void there. But that's as far as the areas that I'm not overly concerned about. I'm not concerned about linebacker, and I'm not concerned as far as defense goes. Not concerned about linebacker. Not concerned about what's going on at the safety spot. And I feel pretty good about one of the corners. So I think that that's where you can kind of fall into whether you're talking defensive end. Pass rusher, you're talking about defensive tackle, and you're talking about an additional corner.
And Arch, just to bring it back to the defensive line, I know that you and Wes talked about it. There were moments where Zach Harrison really started to come alive and Ebba Cady is developing. Do you see them taking that leap where they will complement whatever we do in the draft?
I thought Harrison did that, Mike, late in the year. I thought that we saw him show more. I think he had like 3 sacks over the last couple games of the season. And I thought that he began to flash and be a little bit more, have an understanding of how to play at this level, what he could get away with and what he couldn't. I thought that Ebba Cady, obviously, the end of his rookie year 2 seasons ago, got hurt. I think that hampered his development. Thought he made some strides this last year to continue to come on. I know what you're talking about. You want a guy to just burst on the scene and be that guy.
Right.
That guy's coming off the edge and making some plays. It'll be interesting to see what they do defensively. I know there's a lot of conversation about 3-4, 4-3, all those kind of things. Most teams are playing in a sub-package anyway. It's a nickel set where you've got 4 guys on the field that can rush the passer, potentially stop the run as well, and then you've got probably 5 DBs on the field. How much can those guys rotate up front? How much can Zach Harrison make a stride? Ebba Cady make a stride? I think they will make strides, but are they going to be the elite level pass rusher? Only time will tell, I guess.
Arch, real quick before we let you go, Falcons, Raheem Morris did indicate yesterday at the owners' meetings that the Falcons are likely to add another quarterback to the QB room. What do you make of that and in terms of Heinicke's chances of being the backup?
Yeah, I think that it's interesting in that, guys, we get, you know, think about a scenario where you get your edge rusher at 8 and then you get to the back of the first round and all of a sudden Michael Penix is still sitting there or, you know, Bo Nix is still sitting there. Is it worth maybe giving away your 2 and something else to jump in to get a 5th-year option on a young quarterback that might be the heir apparent to Kirk Cousins? I think that's certainly in the offing. I don't know that they'll do that. And Or is there a guy like Kirk Cousins, who was a fourth-round draft pick sitting right out there that kind of got left in the dust like Brock Purdy did? We'll have to wait and see. There's some guys that are much more prepared to play that are going to go later in the draft. Right. We thought we had one, and it didn't work out. So are you a little skittish on doing that again?
I think we use that mantra from 2016 with Arthur Blank. I need three starters, you nitwits, out of this draft, and hopefully we're going to find them the way they did that year, man.
Well, you might do that, but I think you want guys. You're going to need guys to come in and contribute on the defensive side of the football right away, Mike, in those first couple of picks, if in fact you stay on the defensive side.
All right, brother. Before you know it, you, me, and Carl will be sitting on the hill at Flowery Branch with Wes, and Carl will pronounce someone a bust. It'll all be happening here this summer, and can't wait to get to. We'll pick your brain more before the draft as well.
Look forward to it, guys. Good to talk to you.
There's Dave Archer with us, guys. He and Wes Strewham, as we say. Of course, your voice of the Falcons. And we're going to have great coverage, as you guys know, for the draft. And that's why you lock it in right here. We'll be up at Mercedes-Benz doing the show. Chris is in for Carl today. Twin Peaks tomorrow up in Kennesaw. This hour of the show brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We did mention it in the Falcon Report at 5 for guys who missed it. Jadeveon Clowney in the division. Maybe not as good as Brian Burns, but he had a real resurgence last year. 9.5 sacks with the Ravens. He's in the NFC South now with Carolina on a 2-year, $20 million deal. We'll come back. Turtle and I spent a lot of time, and we got a lot of feedback, and we'll give you guys a chance. I know that not everybody's read it yet, but if you had and you want to sound off on it, 404-726-0929, the Ronald Acuna piece in the Players Tribune, in his own words, talking about his journey from a small town in Venezuela to the show, dealing with maybe some immaturity at times, and his style of play, amongst other things. Why'd he do it now? We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
With your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hey, man, the first story is there is no baseball tomorrow up in Philly. They got to move the game back because there's lots of rain up there in the Northeast. Mets looks like they're going to be rained out as well. So Phillies and the Bravos will be on Friday, and that just means another day for Strider to get ready to rock and roll. That Friday was an off day anyway.
I have some very interesting news, Mike Bell.
Lay it on me.
I got a text from a guy who's not here today informing me about a guy who's going to be with us tomorrow.
Oh.
How about Braves general manager Alex Anthopoulos joining the show tomorrow?
Excellent.
Rainy day for the Braves means a win for us.
Right on. Carl's off today, resting in pipes. Will be, as we mentioned, Twin Peaks. And Chris Thomas is in today. So tomorrow, double A right here on Dukes and Bell. We'll ask him about... Come on, you didn't have to call Duval if you weren't worried about Kelnick, but we'll try to get an answer out of him and what he thinks about Ronald's article in the Players Tribune. And is this should it be read? Now, not everybody reads it the way I do. Not that I'm being cynical. I'm just wondering, because Chris asked me the question the first segment of the show, and it's up there. You can get the link at Mike Bell ATL, but it's in the Players Tribune. Ronald Acuna, in his own words, and you and I both read it this morning. It's really interesting stuff. Talks about his journey from, you know, I know it's the phrase is overused, but hard scrabble upbringings in a small town of Venezuela all the way to the show, making the adjustment to Major League Baseball, you know, his style of play, which maybe rubs some people the wrong way, but that's the way he knows about doing it. Even his mom said when he first got to the show, I've got to tone it down. But it's really interesting. It's Ronald Acuna. It's his story, and it says, I mean no harm, I swear. And immediately the first, I always love the our audience goes from the full spectrum. That is everything you see on social media and beyond. You got folks that maybe take some time to read the article. Some guy goes, why has he got black nail polish on? Well, that's his style. That's just him doing his thing. A lot of guys doing that these days. You know, not me personally, but a lot of people do that.
High profile, soon-to-be QB1s.
Right. I mean, Caleb Williams getting heat over that. So that's just his personal style. Not your style, but his style. Doesn't matter. The guy's the MVP. He's the best friggin' player on the planet. And I will ask Alex at some point, when do they restructure or rework his deal? Because for those who don't know, and just in a nutshell, he's got three more years before you get to the club options at $17 million. We looked at the numbers earlier, Chris. Mike Trout's making $35 million. Mookie Betts is making $30 million. So he's undervalued by any measure. Aaron Judge is making $35 million. Yep. So he's anywhere from, you know, depending on who you're talking to, $13 to $18 million. Undervalue is the best player in the show. You throw Fernando Tatis in there as well. He deserves more. Ozzy Albies deserves more, but these are the contracts, and I get it. I'll answer my own argument before you yell at me. He signed a contract. Yes, he did. He's overplayed that contract. He's outperformed that contract, hasn't he? So do you think there's any correlation with this article and trying to maybe win some hearts and minds?
I mean, do you want me to play the cynic here?
My first reaction is, great story. I'm learning more about Ronald that I don't know. I know he's getting more mature. He's speaking more English. He'll make that effort. And then, you know, if you break it down to brass tacks, my second thought was perhaps this is a chance to win over some people who don't think he deserves a new deal.
Well, he does deserve a new deal. He deserves, as you just laid out there so eloquently, that he deserves to be paid just about double what he's making right now because, yes, he is that good. He deserves to be one of the top five. If not, listen, if you're the best player in baseball, shouldn't you be paid like it? I'm not saying he's going to get an Ohtani deal because that's just not realistic. The Braves nor even the teams like the Yankees or the Mets would even go there. The Dodgers did something that was so backhandedly sly and aggravating and irritating that upset the rest of the league with the way that they structured that contract.
Right.
So it's not going to be in that realm, but you talk Trout, Judge, you talk about some of the best players in the game, he should absolutely be there. And Mike, yes, it is no coincidence that this article comes out today and the season starts tomorrow.
No, I mean, it's an interesting read. It talks about his journey about, as you guys know, and anywhere from Venezuela to parts of the Dominican Republic, wherever players come from in the world, not everybody has travel ball from Cobb County, okay? A lot of guys are trying to get tape together so they can take a newspaper, crumple it up, and make a baseball out of it. So that was his start. Talks about his relationship with the family and how difficult it was to leave home. You know, his dad played professional baseball, and it was always his dream. He also prayed to be famous. I think I've done that a few times. Myself. No problem with that. One of the things that was interesting was talking about his relationship with some of the teammates. That's what kind of struck you as interesting. Do you think it was kind of thinly veiled at previous teammates like Freddie Freeman?
I think at the very minimum, to be polite, he stated a very strong preference. And that is that the way that the 2024 Braves are led by guys like Charlie Morton and Orlando Arcia and him and Ozzy and some of the guys that are on that team, it's a way much more player-friendly sort of leadership system, shall we call it, than the likes of guys who may or may not have spat things about protecting logos and wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, as we said earlier, look, guys, no one debates Freddie Freeman's legacy. He had a style that he felt was the way things should have been done in the locker room, in the clubhouse, I should say. Other players, you know, didn't feel the same way. Freddie did win you a World Series. I said it earlier, a couple guys hit us up on text. You and Carl are always dogging out Fred. Freddie acted like a child when it came time for his contract, okay? It's like fair or unfair. Sometimes down the road, 10 years from now, who knows, maybe sooner, there'll be a Freddie Day and he can cry again behind home plate. Jeez. And he's a great Brave and he's a legacy player. No one debates that. But when it came time to know what your agent is doing, you got to be more involved in the babe in the woods. And for those who don't know what that means you have no idea what's going on. You're just aloof to everything.
Head in the sand.
Correct. And then, so I'm sorry, Alex Anthopoulos had to look at a plan B. Plan B was Matt Olson. So for Freddie to be like, what? They're bringing a guy from the A's? Yeah, because you guys are monkeying around and you're talking to the Dodgers, and now Freddie wants to come in and what? You blew it. And he knows it. That's why he acted the way he did when the Dodgers came in here for that homestand.
Yeah.
To the point where Kershaw's like, enough already with the waterworks. Can we move on?
That was – so there's emotional moments in sports that are – like cherished, right? That right. We look at the. I always think of that picture of Kobe with the hat on sideways, kissing right. the trophy, getting emotional. That is awesome. What Freddie did was not awesome. He was basically just blubbering into a microphone for 40 minutes.
Yeah, because he blew it. But that's you. That's accountability. You know, I mean, Carl and I at different times have had some great representation. You got to be in contact. And if you're lucky enough to be in a position where you can negotiate a contract, you got to know what's going on. Ron Lacuna also posts about taking responsibility. Speaking of Freddie probably being like, harumph, him not hustling in 2019. Snicker called it out. I don't think there was anything unfair about that. He admits that it was about immaturity and he's got to be more involved. And he's done that. He discusses getting emotional many times in his career. Wants to be known as a player who loves the game, not a prima donna who showboats. His style is now what a lot of people do. I mean, I think, aren't we past this now? From Fernando Tatis to Juan Soto to whoever. Guys do this. This is the exuberance they play. And bring up what you mentioned earlier about younger demographics. That's part of how you get people in a little interested. Maybe not you, but younger people want a little more swagger with their game.
Oh, yeah. The 15 to 25-year-old baseball fan, they're fans of guys like Ronald Acuna Jr., Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis, guys that are demonstrative players. Jazz Chisholm with the Marlins right. comes to mind as well. Guys that are showing you that it's not just about the staunchy old baseball where the managers fit into the outfits like they shouldn't have with their guts hanging out. That's what people think of when they think of old-timey baseball shenanigans. And we're trying to usher in a new era of let the kids play and let the kids show and showboat a little bit. And, Mike, frankly, I don't see any problem with it.
No. And that gets back to how we started this conversation, because we literally had one tweet or a text guy comes at us and goes, why has Ronald got like, you know, finger nail polish in his finger? It's just, it's a thing. Guys do it. Just not my thing. I wouldn't do it, but that's me. I mean, then again, I don't tuck my shirt in. I dress like a bum. I like to be casual. I mean, everybody's got their own style. You know, I've got one suit basically for church and court appearances. That everybody's got their own way of doing things. And that's what gets us, you know, to the Caleb Williams. You got guys going, oh, he's got a pink phone case. He's got pink nails. Maybe he's going to be like a Cam Newton, Dennis Rodman type, okay? And if that scares you away from drafting him, so be it. But he's going to embrace doing his own thing. Cam Newton says, I do what I do to empower people and young kids to do something differently outside the box.
Absolutely. And, Mike, when you were going to high school, what was the big fashion trend? When I was going, you know what my fashion trend was in high school? The skater punk look. Imagine how that would have played on a baseball field. Kids with long hair, trying to skateboard with the big oversized Converse and Van shoes with the baggy jeans. I mean, every generation has their thing. I mean, again, I'm not painting my nails anytime soon, but that doesn't mean that I don't understand that it's the cool thing to do in 2024.
I mean, I go back in time and punch myself out and get a new haircut. I look like Mark Gastineau's idiot love child.
Exactly.
Man. The mustache, the mullet. You've seen the photos I posted on my Twitter page or X page, whatever. But getting back to the heart of the article, it is fascinating. I think you'll dig it if you're a Braves fan. And he does. He talks about how it was a bitter pill because he's so happy for his teammates, but just so absolutely miserable and heartbroken. He couldn't be part of that 2021 postseason and the win of the World Series. So, again, Ronald Acuna, in his own words, that's why guys love having this outlet, the Derek Jeter starter, right, with the Players Tribune.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see all the athletes that have written all the pieces that we don't get to see, again, because I mentioned this again because I think it's worth noting. Ronald Acuna Jr., the perception of him around baseball and around Braves fans is that he's happy-go-lucky, always with the big, good-looking smile on his face. He's always doing shenanigans with Ozzy and the crew in the outfield after games when they win. So that's the Ronald Acuna Jr. that we thought we knew. Today we learned that he has a whole different side of him. He's a really caring, emotional, family-oriented guy. I didn't know that.
We'll talk more about this with Carl tomorrow. I'm sure Carl's going to have some strong opinions when we're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Chris Thomas is in for Carl today. This hour of the show brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Coming up, we got some top three, and then we'll also talk to a dude who's got some strong opinions on the Falcons. Our buddy from Heavy.com, NFL insider Matt Lombardo. We'll go around some of the moves that he made. A couple of guys also have some questions about some of the things Arch was telling us about the Falcons. We'll address that when we come back next on Dukes and Bell.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.